Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. How many of us believe that the Lord we serve is awesome? Awesome. The mighty God. Hallelujah. One of the things the Lord will be ministering unto us is something like his CV. One of the challenges many of us are having is a problem of the appreciation of God. We have been relating with him. We've known him for some time. But somewhere along the line, we really don't know who he is. Hallelujah. One of the things the Lord will be doing is reminding us again of who he is. Hallelujah. That is the reason we began to sing Awesome God, Mighty God, the God who is lifted up. Before we go into the word, I want you to go before the Lord this afternoon. I want you to talk to the Lord. Reveal yourself to me. I desire to know you. If I do not know you, I will not be able to stand in my lot. I will not be able to do that which you have raised me to do at this time. Because if I don't know you, what am I going to tell the people who you are going to bring to me? Hallelujah. God wants to reveal himself through a people, but he will take us through experiences that will make us know him. Hallelujah. And nothing will be taken away from him. He is awesome. He is mighty. There is none like him. Hallelujah. Tell the Lord you desire a touch, a definite touch. Hallelujah. Father, we come before you this hour. Once more, we confess our limitation. We say of a truth, it is not by power, it is not by might, it is by your spirit. Father, you have a counsel, you have a word to pass to your people at this time. As a mortal vessel, I come before you at this time. Let there be help from your presence. Let the heavens over us be open. Let us experience you in a new way. Let us learn to trust you more, to look to you more, to depend upon you more. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you. Jehovah, we worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. Now, we've crossed into afternoon now. We're going to be looking at the topic, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord a new song. The Lord desires to take the old songs, the sad songs, the horrible songs, the songs of discouragement that many of us have sung up to now. He wants to change our perspective. He wants to change our understanding. He wants to change our mindset, the way we see things. And that is important, particularly as we realize that the theme of the conference is understanding the times. The Lord desires to enlighten us concerning his ways so that when he begins to move, none of us will be surprised or will be confused. And we know we will not be confused in the name of Jesus. Before we go into the main thrust of the message, I want to read a few thus saith the Lord. Now, when we left wherever we came from, we came with an understanding that the Lord will speak to us. I heard Brother Kola saying yesterday that this is a prophetic conference where the mind of the Lord is revealed. Hallelujah. Now, I want us to pay attention to some of the things that will be said. They have been said before. They will be said again. And I am sure many more will come in the course of this meeting. But I want to assure you, we are not saying these things to make you feel good. Hallelujah. You know, it's not a case of somebody woke up and felt like, okay, what can I say to make the people feel good with themselves? And then you begin to pick words. The Lord is speaking to his people, and it is important you pay attention, because by laying hold on what he is saying, you will be prepared for the day that is ahead. Hallelujah. Some will walk in. In fact, one of the things the Lord is saying, and we will look at that, is that the days in which we are going into will be days of darkness. I'm not talking about Isaiah 60. That is a measure of what the Lord is saying. But that a day when there will be no answer from the Lord, a day when visions will cease, and we will give the conditions under which God says, if these things happen or go on in your midst, there will be no visions, and there will be darkness. Hallelujah. But because we are people of light, we are going to listen to the things that God says, I don't want this. Hallelujah. You know, God is a God of covenants. He tells you, this is the way I want to do things. This is the plan. This is the pattern. And then he now tells you, choose. I set before you life. I set before you death. But choose life. Hallelujah. But you know, some people can decide to choose death. Now, will feel very terrible or very miserable if a person decides to choose death. Well, he might not like it. He's sovereign. And he will leave you with your choice. But the beautiful thing is that the Lord will ensure you are not without information. You are not without light. Hallelujah. I want us to open to Isaiah 35. Isaiah 35, reading from verse 8, but we actually want to look at verse 10. Speaks of Zion. Speaks of the kingdom of God. Speaks of the people of God. Verse 8 says, there shall be an highway. It shall be a way. It shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. But it shall be for those, the wayfaring men. Those who have a mindset that they are travelers. They are not bogged with the affairs of the world. They are not tied down. They are wayfaring men. Hallelujah. He says, even though they are fools, they shall not err in this way. In this way, there shall be no lion, nor any ravenous beast go there. It shall not be found, but the redeemed shall walk there. The redeemed shall walk in the light of the kingdom of God. The redeemed shall walk in the light of Zion. The redeemed shall walk in the light of the counsel of God. The desire in the heart of God will be their desire. Now, verse 10 is actually where we want to go. It says, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return. There shall be an inclination, there shall be a desire to walk in the light of the counsel of God. There shall be a return. They shall come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. There shall be a return with joy, a return with gladness. Hallelujah. He says, sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Hallelujah. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away. That is one of the things the Lord is doing. And may I say, for our information, if there is nothing else you hear, in the course of this ministration, the fact that God is a methodical God. He is a God who makes his plans. He makes his purposes. And for those who will hear, he tells them, hallelujah, there is no power. There is no force. There is no thought. There is no imagination that can stand in the way of God's plan. Most times when we look at the things happening around us, we get jittery. Is God going to be able to deal with this situation? But I want to assure you, I know Psalm 2 says, he that sits in the heaven laughs. We will look at that a little bit later on. But the issue is, no matter what is going on, don't think if you are panicky, God is panicky. Don't think if you are jittery, that God is jittery. I want to tell you at any particular time that God is seated relaxed. He is working his purposes. He is a deliberate God. He is a methodical God. No matter what you are seeing around, he is working out his purposes. They will come to pass. Hallelujah. Now, leaving Isaiah 35, where we go to Jeremiah, there's another thus saith the Lord. in Jeremiah 33. In fact, this one came twice recently. Jeremiah 33, reading from verse 3. It says, call unto me, and I will answer you. In these days in which we are living, call unto me, and I, the Lord, I will answer you. I will show you great and mighty things, which you have not known. Hallelujah. I will not leave you in darkness. I will not leave you confounded. I will speak to you. I will reveal myself to you. I will not be a God that is afar off, but call unto me. Hallelujah. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the houses of this city, concerning the houses of the kings of Judah that are thrown down by the mouth and by the sword, concerning the people of the Lord who have known devastation, challenges, problems, whatever. Verse 6 says, behold, I will bring it health. Behold, I will bring you health in the name of Jesus. I will bring you cure. I will cure them. I will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. Hallelujah. I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return. That is, I will turn your captivity around. I will destroy your captivity. And I will build them as at the first. Hallelujah. I will cleanse them from all their iniquity, whereby they have sinned against me. I will pardon all their iniquities, whereby they have sinned and whereby they have transgressed against me. And it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise and an honor before all the nations of the earth, which shall hear all the good that I do unto them. So I will be good to you. I will do good to you. And when I do good to you, all those who hear the things I have done, it will be good news. Hallelujah. And they shall fear. They shall tremble for all the goodness and for all the prosperity that I will procure unto you. Thus says the Lord, again, there shall be heard in this place. There shall be heard in your midst. There shall be heard in your lives. Hallelujah. It shall be heard in this place that you say is desolate. Well, we don't see anything happening. Oh, we don't know what's going on, and so on. In the place where such have been said, it says, in that place, you shall hear the voice of joy. You shall hear the voice of gladness. You shall hear the voice of the bridegroom. Many who have looked at themselves, will I qualify to be a bridegroom? Many who have looked at themselves, when will I become a bride? Hallelujah. He says, you shall hear the voice of them that shall say, praise the Lord, the Lord of hosts. For the Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And you shall hear the voice of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise unto the house of the Lord. For I will cause to return your captivity. I will turn your situation around. Hallelujah. Thus says the Lord of hosts, again in this place, again in your life, again in your home, again in your situation, which has been called desolate, you shall know the habitation. We leave that. Hallelujah. Now the Lord desires to bring a visitation upon his people. He desires to change our testimony. A desire to change our orientation, the way we think, the way we perceive, the way we look at things. Hallelujah. And in this thrust, in this burden, we are going to be going to Exodus chapter 14. There we find an account. And the Lord says, this will be a pattern. It will be a pattern of the way he will receive glory in our lives. Hallelujah. Let us go to Exodus chapter 14 and we begin to look from verse 1. It says, the Lord spake unto Moses. I want us to follow as we look at this particular passage and realize that the initiator of this particular event is the law. God began the process. The Lord came unto Moses, and the Lord will come to us in the name of Jesus. That which will characterize our walk at this time will be the visitation of the Lord. It will be to the pleasure of the heart of God to visit his people and to speak to them. Hallelujah. But even when God comes in and he speaks, we need to listen to him. One of the challenges we are going to have as we move on is, how do I handle the transition between the word of the Lord and the fulfillment of that which he is speaking? Hallelujah. Any of the events we are going to be looking at, anybody coming in the middle of the story will come to a wrong conclusion. But as long as God is at the beginning, he will be at the end in the name of Jesus. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-Zephon. Before it shall you encamp by the sea. So, the Lord says, this was after Israel had come out. They had come out of Egypt. Among the devastations that had come upon Egypt was the last one that been the death of all the first sons. In Egypt, Pharaoh had been hit. Now, let me say this. One of the things the Lord is indicating is, most of us, most times, will like a situation where God gives one blow and the enemy is destroyed. Hallelujah. How many of us would like for God to give just one blow and the enemy is destroyed? I'm sure most of us would like that. But at times, God does not do that. So, should he choose not to do it? Pay attention to the things that are being said. Before now, God had called Moses. He had called Israel. He had talked to them. Maybe a little bit of background. The Bible says God had called Abraham. And God had told him, you are going to come out of your father's house, come out of your kindred, come out of your nation, and you are going to come to a land that I have chosen for you. It is a good land, a glorious land. Hallelujah. You find that in Genesis 12. And Abraham, listening to that, you know, will have been very excited. I bless God. These are wonderful promises. These are great promises. But by the time you get to Genesis 15, the Bible says Abraham had an encounter with God. God came visiting that day. And Abraham said, God, I'm not really in a good mood. I am not enjoying this at all. And God said, why? He said, you know, you made a lot of great promises to me. But right now, from what I am seeing, the person who is going to inherit everything I have, is this my servant? Is this what you said? And God said, Abraham, don't worry. What I have said shall come to pass. And to further assure you, let's go out. Come outside. And God said, look at the stars. Can you number them? That is the way I am going to bless you. Your children are going to be many. Hallelujah. Now, perspectives. For Abraham, God, just give me a child so that when they are saying, father of child, I can raise my hand. God is saying, the stars, you know, in the heaven, your children will be like that. And Abraham said, okay, I believe you. What you have said sounds very good. But how would I know that this thing you are saying will come to pass? And God said, okay, make an offering unto me. Make a sacrifice unto me, and then I will speak. Hallelujah. Now, God said, let me tell you, you will have that child. That child will come out of your body. When he comes out of your body, he is going to have his own children. And your children will go into a nation. They will be there for 400 years. Now, in the course of the 400 years, those people will exact upon them. They will make things difficult for them. They will make life hard. But don't worry.
Those people, when I am going to bring your children out, I am going to bring them out with a strong hand, with a mighty hand. When I bring them out, they are going to come out with great substance. And those people, I will deal with them. Hallelujah. Now, the time came, Moses was born, and, you know, Moses went through a few experiences, but eventually, God called Moses and said, it is time. The time that I want to bring the children of Israel out of the land of bondage. I have heard their groaning. Their cry has come to me. And I have come to bring deliverance. Hallelujah. Moses didn't want to go, but God convinced him. Don't worry when you get there. Drop the rod in your hand. It will become a serpent. You know, put your hand under your jacket. Bring it out. It will be leprous. Put it again. Signs to assure him. And the account says Moses eventually went. He convinced the people. Let's go and meet Pharaoh. The people said, are you sure that God is able to bring deliverance? We've been in this state for so long. We've gotten used to it. It's painful, but you know, we don't know what to do. Don't worry. God is going to bring deliverance. He's going to do mighty works. Okay. No problem. And they went to meet Pharaoh. Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, the God of the children of Israel, let my people go that they may serve me. And Pharaoh said, what did you say? He said, the God of the children of Israel says, let my people go that they may serve me, that they may worship me, that they may offer unto me. And Pharaoh said something that is interesting. Who is that God? Who made that God? What is his address? Where does he live? Who empowered him? Who does he consult with? Why do you think I will release you? Hallelujah. Okay, you know what I am going to tell you? You people are idle. You know your problem? You are idle. You don't have things to do. That is the reason why you are talking of a God that will deliver you. I will give you work to do. And let me see what that God will do to deliver you. And he told the people that were handling the people, you know, they make bricks for the construction project of Egypt. Said, you've been giving them straws for the work they are doing. From today, don't give them any straw anymore. Hallelujah. Don't give them any straw. And the people did exactly that. And the leaders in Israel, they ran to Pharaoh and said, Pharaoh, what's going on? We know this bondage has been on us. It's been hard. But somehow we've managed prior to now. But you are now making our hardship even more. Why? Why are you doing that? And the man said, it's because you people are idle. I insist you must make the same number of bricks. We will not reduce it. We will make your situation harder. Hallelujah. Now, let me ask. Did the children of Israel feel like singing a good song at that time? Sorry? Were they singing, come and join me, sing hallelujah? But did they have the word of God? They had the word of God. Hallelujah. But the situation seemed to have gotten worse instead of getting better. You know what they did? They went and met Moses. And they said, Moses, we were enjoying our suffering on our own. We did not tell you to come and help us. You came making great promises. God will do this. God will do that. God will do this. God will do that. Is this what you told us that God is going to do? Hallelujah. Now the account says, Moses said, it's all right, it's all right. Then he went back to God. I want us to look at what Moses told God and then what God answered. Hallelujah. Like I'm saying, God is a methodical God. He follows his program. We need to buy in into his program, lest we get confused. Exodus chapter 5, reading from verse 22. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore have you so evil entreated these people? Why is it that you sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to these people. Neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. You said you were going to deliver. That is what you promised. I said I was not going. You said I must go. You gave me a rod in my hand. But you have not delivered the people. Hallelujah. And God made some powerful statements. Our brother was reading it earlier on in the morning. But I want us to look at it again. Exodus 6, it says, then the Lord said unto Moses, now shall you see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let you go. With a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. God spake unto Moses and said, I am the Lord. I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by my name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. I have established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. I have heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians kept in bondage. I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rid you out of their bondage. I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. I will take you to me for a people. I will be to you a God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you unto the land concerning the which I did swear to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob. I will give it to you for an heritage. I am the Lord. Hallelujah. So what is God saying? No matter the situation, I do not change my mind. I don't begin a thing and abandon it halfway. When I begin a thing, I complete it. Hallelujah. I will be honored. I will be glorified upon the Egyptians. But I will walk in a methodical way. I am working out a program. I am following a plan. Buy into the plan. Flow with me. My purposes shall be established in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, the account says, when God will begin to bring judgments upon Egypt, the account says, the first judgment that came was the turning of the water, the Nile, into blood. Hallelujah. The Nile was turned into blood. You know, Moses had been told, go and wait for Pharaoh. He will come to the Nile. He'll come and have his bath in the morning. When you meet him, tell him, thus says the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. And he will tell you, who is that God? He said, the God that will bring this judgment upon you. And stretch forth your hands towards the Nile. And when you stretch forth your hand, the water will turn into blood. Hallelujah. Now, when that first judgment came, what do you think Pharaoh did? Was he seriously dismayed? No. That was just the first blow. Hallelujah. Like I said, God is a methodical God. He fights long. He fights strong. But at the end of the day, the enemy will be flat out. He will not be able to rise. He will be totally devastated in the name of Jesus. You know, the account says, when the water was turned into blood, the magicians of Egypt said, is this what you are able to do? We can match you, magic for magic, power for power. So, they looked for the remaining water left in the land and said, we turn you also into blood. Now, that gives you an idea of the way the mind of the devil works. If the waters have been turned into blood and people have no water to drink, you will expect that they will be wise to say, let us leave the remaining water. They say, if you think you can turn water into blood, we also will turn water into blood. And they did that. Hallelujah. And God said, no problem. We have just started. It's a long thing. It's going to be a definite thing, but it will take some time. Soon after that, Moses went and met Pharaoh and said, thus saith the Lord, you will need to let these people go. If you don't let them go, there's going to be a problem. I'm going to call forth frogs from inside the rivers. Now, maybe you will ask me, if everything became blood, how did the people have water to drink? The account says they went and dug wells. And God was merciful. It was only the open waters that were affected by the first judgment. When they, you know, dug the grounds, water came. And that was like a respite. And let me also say, when that judgment came, It came upon all in the land. When the water was turned to blood, it was all the water in the land. Hallelujah. What does that say about the initial days of the judgment? It means when the judgments come, they may affect us in a few ways. But their effect on us will not be enduring, and it will not be for long. When there will be a demarcation between those who serve the Lord and those who do not serve Him. Hallelujah. You know, you find some of the people who say, rapture. You know, God will throw all of us out of the world before anything comes. God is not building weaklings. He is not building people who don't have stomach. He is building people who are tough. You know, when God brought judgment upon Israel during the time of Elijah, when the water was stopped, it came upon all in the land. But God made a provision. Hallelujah. So don't get worked by the things that are going on around you. The Lord will make a provision. He will make a way of escape. In the name of Jesus. So frogs came. After the frogs, lice, you know, came, and so many other things. Flies came, livestock died, there were boils, all manners of things, but it was only the first three that affected Israel. Eventually God said, okay, Israel, you live in a particular place in Egypt. When the judgments come upon all the rest of, you know, Egypt, your place will be safe. The judgments will come upon them, it will not come on you. In fact, one very interesting one. The account says, God brought thick darkness. Darkness that could be felt. It was like you could touch the darkness for 3 days. And the darkness was on every part of Egypt, apart from the place where the children of Israel, you know, stayed in Goshen. Hallelujah. The Lord will make an exception for His people in the name of Jesus. But that is largely the background. God had been dealing body blows. It's like some of us who may have had, you know, been involved before. When I was in school, I was in the boxing club, and I was one of those who used to box. And one of the things they teach you as a boxer, you could be lucky if you are able to give your opponent one blow and he falls down. But most times, if you have trained and he has trained, the chances of you giving him one blow and he falls down is not usually there. What they teach you is give your opponent regular body blows. As you give him regular body blows, he becomes weakened. He becomes weak. He becomes so weak that when you give the final blow, he goes flat on the ground. Hallelujah. God is systematic. The judgment He will begin to bring on the land, it will be little by little. And initially, the forces of darkness will still be doing shakara. No, we too, we can match you. No, we can resist. But eventually, a time will come when they will say, we give up. We can't fight anymore. Hallelujah. So let us not get discouraged. Oh God, when are you going to do everything? When are you going to round up quickly? God is not in a hurry. He doesn't walk panicky. Steady, little by little. Definitely, until eventually He accomplishes His purpose. But like I said, the area where the Lord pointed is this Exodus 14. The final onslaught, the final blow that He was going to bring upon Egypt. There, before the events began, God gave a picture. This is what I am doing. And He called Moses. And that's why I'm saying, those of us who have leadership responsibility in the body of Christ, there is nothing the Lord will do that He will not tell us. He will give us. There is nothing to be gained by hiding His mind from us. But we will need to ensure that we are available to hear the mind of the Lord. Hallelujah. Back to that place in Exodus 14. It says, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel. Let them turn. Let them camp. Let them camp before the Red Sea. Hallelujah. Now, maybe let's go on a little bit. It says, verse 3, for Pharaoh we say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness hath shut them in. Hallelujah. God says, move to a particular location. When you get to that location, the enemy will look at you. He will look at your position. And he will say, from the way I see you, you are vulnerable. You will be easy to attack. It will be very easy to finish you up. It will be the most, you know, the easiest thing. Hallelujah. Now, a lot of times, the enemy does a wrong calculation, as we will see even a little later. But in this particular one, his calculation was perfect. On the right, no way to go. On the left, no way to go. In front, the sea. And the enemy said, if we arise and begin to pursue now, there will be easy pickings. I'm sure many of us will look at our situation as like, God, why have you made my position, my situation so vulnerable? Why have you made it seemingly easy for the enemy to attack? I would have loved to be in a position where I can brag of strength. God says, don't worry. Wherever I put you, it doesn't matter. The devil is going to analyze. He is going to come to the wrong conclusion. Even though by human reasoning, that conclusion will be smart. Pharaoh will say, they are entangled. The wilderness has shut them in. And I will even go one step further. I will harden Pharaoh's heart. And he shall follow after them. Hallelujah. Now, usually people will call and say, okay, I have two news for you. I have good news. And I have bad news. Which one do you want first? Hallelujah. Someone is okay, give me the good news so that when I hear the bad, the good will overwhelm, you know, the bad. God says, go to this vulnerable position where it will be easy for the enemy to pick you and finish you. The enemy is going to sit and analyze. Having analyzed, he's going to come to the conclusion that I can finish them. And that conclusion will be a very valid conclusion. Now, I, God, will go one more step. The Bible says the heart of the king is in the heart of the Lord to turn as he wishes. A lot of times we think, you know, every time God will turn the heart of the king in a positive light. But at times, God will push him to try his worst, so to say. Hallelujah. I hope I'm not telling you things that, you know, will come as a surprise. Because many of us will ask, what is going on? Why am I going through this? Why am I going through this kind of experience? What's going on? Why has this befallen me? I love the Lord. I serve the Lord. I've been doing all the things I ought to do. Why am I facing challenges? Hallelujah. That is only the part. You know, two seemingly bad. I will attack them. I will finish them. And God says, I will not soften his heart. What am I going to do? What did he say he will do? He will harden. How about God? That is not like you. How can you harden the heart of the enemy for him to pursue your people? Isn't that wickedness? Is it wickedness? Hallelujah. Now, what you need to hear is the last part. What is the goal? What is the purpose? What is the end that God is working towards? He says, I will be honored upon Pharaoh. I will be honored upon those things that have been challenging you. I will be honored upon, you know, the things that have intimidated and told you all manners of lies. You know, there's something I call the phantom wars. The phantom wars. The enemy comes. I will finish you. And he begins to rage. And your initial rage, ah, God, how are we going to deal with this? And then sometimes you say, hey, look, calm down. What is this all about? Who are you anyway? What makes you feel you can do what you are saying? Hallelujah. So what are we saying? Is it that the enemy will not try anything at all? It's just that there are a few things I have left. When you go and read the story of Israel, the account says the people multiplied. The people thrived. That's, you know, after so many years in Egypt, God increased them. They were strong. They gave back. Everything was going very well. And the account says, Pharaoh called his people and said, look, we have to deal wisely with these people. Wisely means craftily, wickedly. This their God, we don't know. They came into our land. And before you know it, they've been increasing, getting bigger, doing well. Everything is going rosy for them. No, we must do something. We must make their lives miserable. Hallelujah. So when God begins to help you, when God begins to bless you, Don't think the devil is going to get excited and rejoice with you. He will not. He will raise a challenge. But what am I saying? At the end of it all, the goal in the heart of God is, I will be honored upon Pharaoh. Pharaoh is the king of the enemies in this situation. And upon all his hosts. What am I working? He says, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. Hallelujah. That is what I am working out. The Egyptians will know. Pharaoh will know. His host will know that I am the Lord. There is no other God. Pharaoh has boasted. Who is this God? Is he able to deliver? Can he deliver out of my hand? And God says, we will know on that day. Hallelujah. Now, verse 5 says, it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled. You know, all we have said is God's counsel. How was it worked out? It was told the king of Egypt that the people fled. And the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this? That we have let them go from serving us. And he made ready his chariots. He took his people with him. 600 chosen chariots. All the chariots of Egypt, captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened. He didn't soften. He hardened the heart of Pharaoh. If God had left him alone, what he wanted to do to him would not have been done. He would still have been telling himself, oh, maybe if I had struck at that time, maybe I would have been able to destroy them. But God wanted to teach him a permanent lesson that when you hear the people of God, you run. Hallelujah. So, the Egyptians pursued after them. All the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, they overtook them, encamping by the sea. 10. When Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes. And behold, the Egyptians marched after them. Now, what happened to them? Did they begin to rejoice? The promises of God are being fulfilled. Was that what they said? What does it say they said? They were so afraid, and they cried unto the Lord. But if all they had done was cry unto the Lord, it would have been good. But they didn't stop with crying unto the Lord. They began a song, an old song, a bad song. A song they had offered many times before then. What did they sing? Moses. Is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore have you dealt this terribly with us to carry us out of Egypt? Is not this the word we told you in Egypt, saying, leave us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians that we should die in the wilderness. Isn't that a pleasant song? Moses, we told you, leave us. This suffering, we have gotten used to it. These challenges, it's not as if it's good, but we can manage. We told you, leave us. You came making great promises. You came telling us, this will happen, that will happen. I'm sure for many of us, we found ourselves saying that. Some publicly, maybe some privately. God, this is not what you told us. This is not what you told us. You told us you are able to save. You are able to deliver. You can remove problems. You can take care of us. But what is this? You know, these people that came and said, come out of Babylon. Maybe if I had stayed there, maybe my life would have been better, even more than this. I don't know. The Lord will take such songs from our mouths in the name of Jesus. We will have a new song. A song of victory. A song of assurance. A song of confidence in God. An assurance that God does not panic. He does not fret. He is steady. He is sure. Hallelujah. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. I'll take that again. Fear ye not. Stop looking at what you are seeing in the physical. Maybe let me help you. Yes, the sea was in front. Egypt was coming, and the Egyptians were coming with some of their best soldiers. And they were coming on chariots. And the chariots were intimidating.
Hallelujah.
On the right, nowhere to go. On the left, nowhere to go. And it's like, what are we going to do? But they made a mistake. Do you know the mistake they made? They looked at the chariots and they kept looking at the chariots. Take your eyes away from the chariots in the name of Jesus. What should they have looked at? They should have looked up. Because the presence of God was there. God was leading Israel. The pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night was up there. The presence of God was there. But rather than look at God, they were looking at the chariots. And I can tell you, chariots are intimidating. If anybody tells you chariots are not intimidating, it is a lie. But it's a function of what are you looking at? The presence of God was there, as we will see.
Hallelujah.
Don't be afraid. Stand still. Now, is it stand still as stand where you are? Stop fretting. Stop panicking. Stop shaking. Stop being jittery. Calm down. Gather yourself together.
Hallelujah.
You don't need to panic. What can the devil bring that he has not brought before? A lot of times we get panicky. And I thank God for some of the ministrations that have come before now. Stand still. Don't be panicky. Be calm. And you will see the salvation of the Lord. God knows you are vulnerable. God knows that which you are looking at. You've tried to solve it by yourself and you have not been able to. He knows that. He placed you there. He allowed you to be there to glorify his name upon the enemies of God.
Hallelujah. The Lord will show you his salvation. He will show his salvation.
Today, the Egyptians, the calamities, the problems, the difficulties, the challenges that you have seen today, you will see them no more. In the name of Jesus,
the Lord shall fight for you. The Lord shall fight for you. The Lord shall fight for you.
And you shall hold your peace. Calm down. Don't panic. Don't worry. Relax. Let the enemy fire his best shot. It will have no effect
because God is with you.
And the Lord said unto Moses, why are you crying to me? Why are you panicky? It looks like they are also getting unto you. Moses, why are you panicky? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. You know, one of the things that panic causes is it paralyzes. It makes the people of God incapable of making the right decisions, the right movements. But the Lord said, why are you panicking? Why are you fidgety? Why are you saying the wrong things? Tell the people, move forward. And the Lord is saying we need to move forward. We will move forward. We will not stand in panic. We will not stand in confusion. We will not stand in limitation. The body of Christ will move forward unto the purposes of God in the name of Jesus. Move forward.
Hallelujah.
Lift the rod that is in your hand. Stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. The Lord will give us strength to speak to situations, to speak to challenges. You know, a lot of times we begin to look, oh God, where is the solution? And God said, the solution is there with you. The rod was in your hand all the while. Why are you crying? Stretch forth the rod in your hand. Tell the sea, part, that the people of the Lord may cross over, that they may move over.
Hallelujah. Brethren, we will move over. We will cross over in the name of Jesus.
Lift up your rod, stretch it out over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians. Even up to this point, they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his host, upon his chariots, upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. When I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, upon his horsemen, all the forces that are arrayed against you, the Lord will get honor upon them in the name of Jesus. They will lose the ability to bear their name. If lack had been a challenge, God will take lack's ability to harass you in the name of Jesus. You know, it's interesting. God says you will go through fire. it will not burn you. For fire not to burn you, God will take, you know, part of his attribute. And when fire becomes like, you know, an air conditioner, then it becomes a different thing. God says, you will go through waters and it will not drown you. God will take his ability to perform his normal function in the name of Jesus. The Egyptians, the afflictions, the challenges shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh and all his host. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed. So the presence of God was there and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And God began war games. Hallelujah. Said it came to pass. It came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. It was a cloud of darkness to the Egyptians, but it gave light to Israel. Same place, same location. Darkness on this side, light on this side as they were moving. So that one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night. He made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. The children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground, and the Egyptians pursued and went in after them. So they were getting to where God wanted them to get to. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right and on the left. And the Egyptians pursued, went in after them to the midst of the sea. Even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, his horsemen. So God will use you as a bait to destroy the enemies of your soul in the name of Jesus. Now, God took their chariot wheels. He began to break their, as they began to move in the sea, he began to break their chariot. So, you know, before they were able to jump and pounce, but God began to break the chariot wheels. And, you know, a struggle began. And Israel was not even involved. They were just going. Hallelujah. When God began to move, he says, they now said, let us flee from the face of Israel. For the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians. When God began to pull the wheels, he now dawned on them that, God is fighting for them. Brethren, the Lord will fight for us. In the name of Jesus. But by that time, the enemy will not be able to run again. He will be devastated in the name of Jesus. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea, and the waters may come again upon the Egyptians. You know, when the children of Israel crossed to the other side. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its strength. And when the morning appeared, the Egyptians fled against it. But the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, and the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land and went to the other side. And they sang a song. You find that in 15. It says, Moses and the children of Israel, they sang this song unto the Lord, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he had triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider had he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my song. And he has become my salvation. He is my God. I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God, I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. There is no other Lord before him, beside him, after him. He is sovereign. He is Jehovah. Hallelujah. Pharaoh's chariot and his host as he cast into the sea. His chosen captains are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, had dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of your excellency, you have overthrown them that rose up against you. You sent forth your wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of your nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as a heap, and the depths were concealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake. I will divide the spoil. My law shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword and my hand will destroy them. But Lord, you blew the wind and the sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee? Glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders, doing wonders, doing wonders, doing wonders, getting himself glory, getting himself honor, having the last say. He has the last say. Those enemies, you will see them no more. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will take the spoil. Was he bragging? He was not bragging. He analyzed the situation and he said, I have the ability, I have the strength, I have the capacity to pursue. I will not only pursue, I will overtake. I will not only overtake, I will spoil them. Hallelujah. But God said, that is a lie. That is a lie. You may pursue, you may even draw near, but you will not overtake. You will not take the spoil in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The Lord will change our song. The Lord will give us a new song. He will give us the songs of victory in the name of Jesus. But as we continue to reflect, there is a word that the Lord equally wants us to look at. You find it in the book of Micah. There is a part of the book of Micah, Micah chapter 4, that is very familiar. We know it. We find it in Isaiah 2, the mountain that is the Lord's house, exalted above the mountains and the hills. That is the plan of God. That is the purpose of God. That is the mind of God. But there are a few things the Lord is saying can walk contrary to the fulfillment of what we find in Micah. And we will just quickly race through them and then round up. Hallelujah. Micah chapter 2. Micah is after Jonah. Verse 1 says, woe to them that devise iniquity and work evil upon their beds. When the morning is light, they practice it, because it is in the power of their hand. That is, in the day that we are speaking about, there is a judgment that will come upon the land. And what will God be judging? God says, a people in that day will sit upon their beds in the night, and they are going to plan. They will plan to do evil. They will plan to do wickedness. And when it is morning, they will get up and go and implement, because the ability to implement is in their hands. That is what Pharaoh did. But God will judge as many as have this inclination in the name of Jesus. He says, they covet fields, they take them by violence. They covet houses, they take them away. So they oppress a man and his house, even a man and his heritage. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, against this man, against this family, do I devise an evil, from which you shall not remove your necks, neither shall ye go utterly, for this time is evil. It is an evil time for those who do wickedly, those who do evil. Hallelujah. There are quite a lot of things in chapter 2, but we'll just pick a few things. Verse 7, O thou that art named the house of Jacob, is the spirit of the Lord strengthened? Is it? Is God constrained? Is God not able to save? Are these his doings? Does it delight in judgment? Does it delight in destructions? Do not my words do good to him that walks uprightly? He says, even of late, my people is risen up as an enemy. You puff the robe with the garment from them that pass by securely. That is, you use your power to harass. Speaking about any tendency of that nature in the church or in the land. Verse 10, arise ye. This inclination is not your rest, because it is polluted. it shall destroy you. Now, he says, if a man walking in the spirit and falsehood do lie, saying, I will prophesy unto you of wine and of strong drink, he shall even be the prophet of this people. What he's saying there is, there's a spirit in the land. Hey, in the name of Jesus, anything can happen. And people are jumping at it. It doesn't matter the way he lives. And God is saying, that will not be. That will not be. Hallelujah. Chapter 3. Here I pray you, O heads of Jacob, and you princes of the house of Israel, is it not for you to know judgment? The mountain that is the Lord's house shall be exalted in the place of judgment, in the place of justice, in the place of equity. If you hate the good and love the evil, you pluck off the skin, you pluck off the flesh from the bones of my people. Who eat the flesh of my people? They skin them. They break their bones. They chop them in pieces. Then they cry unto the Lord. They do wickedly, but claim they are crying unto the Lord. Will this be? For he will not hear them. He will even hide his face from them at that time, as they have behaved themselves ill in their doings. Thus says the Lord concerning the prophets that make my people err, that bite with their tongue, with their teeth, but they cry peace. So you find the spirit of hypocrisy. There is a spirit in the land. There is a spirit in the church, the larger church. A person bites with the teeth, but he cries with the mouth, peace. It means behind, a person may do wickedly. But if, bro, how are you? You know, God is saying men may not see it as an issue, but I will see it as an issue. Hallelujah. And he that does not put into their mouths, they prepare war against him. If you are not with me, you are against me. Bring money, bring this, bring that, and you don't bring, it's war. What does God say will happen? He says, therefore, night shall be unto you. Any tendency, any inclination in this way will bring darkness. Night shall be that you shall not have a vision, and it shall be dark that you shall not divine, and the sun shall go down over the prophets, and the day shall be dark over them. Then shall the seers be ashamed, and the diviners confounded. Yea, they shall cover their lips, for there is no answer of God. There will be darkness in the land, but it will not be general darkness. It will be a matter of choice, a matter of lifestyle, a matter of inclination. Selective darkness and selective, light. But in the midst of it, there will be a people that will say, I am truly full of, I will divide the spoil. My law shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword and my hand will destroy them. But Lord, you blew the wind and the sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee? Glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders, doing wonders, doing wonders, doing wonders, getting himself glory, getting himself honor, having the last say. He has the last say. Those enemies, you will see them no more. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will take the spoil. Was he bragging? He was not bragging. He analyzed the situation and he said, I have the ability, I have the strength, I have the capacity to pursue. I will not only pursue, I will overtake. I will not only overtake, I will spoil them. Hallelujah. But God said, that is a lie. That is a lie. You may pursue, you may even draw near, but you will not overtake. You will not take the spoil in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The Lord will change our song. The Lord will give us a new song. He will give us the songs of victory in the name of Jesus. But as we continue to reflect, there is a word that the Lord equally wants us to look at. You find it in the book of Micah. There is a part mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. People shall not flow unto hypocrisy. People shall not flow unto evil. People shall not flow unto perversion. The Lord will do a work of shaking, so that only the things that cannot be shaken will be left. And then this prophecy will be fulfilled in the name of Jesus. So it's not enough to say, oh, the mountain shall be exalted. Which mountain? The mountain as by the word of the Lord. And many nations shall come, and they will say, let us go to the mountain that glorifies the name of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us of his ways. We will walk in his path. The Lord shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And the Lord will judge among many people. He will rebuke strong nations, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares. The ability to fight will be taken away from them. Their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they land war anymore. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. For many people will walk in the name of their God, but we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever and ever and ever. Hallelujah! Finally, Micah chapter 6 and then a bit of 7. Hear ye now what the Lord says. Arise, contend down before the mountains. Let the hills hear your voice. Hear ye, O mountains, the Lord's controversy, and ye strong foundations of the earth. For the Lord hath a controversy with his people. He will plead with Israel. O my people, what have I done unto you? Wherein have I wearied you? I brought you out of the land of Egypt. I redeemed you out of the house of servants. I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, consulted, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him, that you may know the righteousness of the Lord. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams? You know, bring an offering. Bring $50. Bring $100. Bring this one. All your problems are solved. The Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord? How will I bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will God be pleased with thousands of rams, or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Can I buy God? Can I make God turn his face elsewhere and say, oh, well, I've given you. Don't disturb me. Hallelujah. He hath shown thee, O man, what is good. What does the Lord require of you? He requires that you do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Hallelujah. I think we can stop here. Let us bow our heads as we begin to talk to the Lord. He has shown thee, O man,
Being a part of the Lord's mountain that shall be exalted is not to be taken for granted. It's not an automatic thing. We've got to look at our lives. We've got to search our lives. We've got to look at the way we are living. He has shown you. He is speaking to you. He is asking, let there be a reorientation. See things from my perspective. Look at it the way I am looking at it. He has shown you what is good. He has shown you what he demands of you. Love justice. Love mercy. Walk in humility. Walk in the light of his counsel. Look to him. Ask for understanding. Let him quicken you in the things he's doing. As you allow him to do that, you will be a part of what he's doing. Darkness shall cover the earth, gross darkness the people. In the midst of the darkness, the Lord shall cause light to come. The Lord will give you a new song, a new mindset, a new orientation, a new inclination, confidence in God, assurance in your God. That which he has said, he has ability to do, he will do. He will not change his mind in the name of Jesus. In this way we bring darkness. Night shall be that you shall not have a vision, and it shall be dark that you shall not divine, and the sun shall go down over the prophets, and the day shall be dark over them. Then shall the seers be ashamed, and the diviners confounded, yea, they shall cover their lips, for there is no answer of God. There will be darkness in the land, but it will not be general darkness. It will be a matter of choice, a matter of lifestyle, a matter of inclination, selective darkness and selective, you know, light. But in the midst of it, there will be a people that will say, I am truly full of power by the Spirit of the Lord. I am full of judgment. I am full of might to declare unto Jacob his transgression. And to Israel is sin, as there will be wickedness in the land, as there will be evil in the land, as darkness will come upon many, as many will not be able to divine, and visions will not be. A people shall decree truly by the Spirit of the Lord, by the Spirit of power, by the Spirit of might, I have power to declare unto Jacob his sin and his transgression. Brother, this is not right. Sister, this is not the way it is. We will not gloat. We will not smile. We will not talk as if it doesn't really matter. Hallelujah. Hear this, I pray you, you heads of the house of Jacob and princes of the house of Israel, that abhor judgment and pervert all equity. They build Zion with blood, and Jerusalem with iniquity. The heads judge for reward. The priests teach for hire. The prophets divine for money. Yet, they will lean upon the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? No evil can come upon us. Hallelujah. Therefore, shall Zion for your sake be plowed. I will cause a shaking. I will cause a shaking. I will cause a shaking. So that only the things that cannot be shaken will be left. Hallelujah.
Zion shall be